remember so clearly how I just admired my dad. He was bigger than life to me. I thought he was the greatest man on the earth, strongest man on the earth, could do anything. And I just longed to hear him say to me, "You did good." And he was not a real verbal guy, so when you got something out of there, you better take it, because it didn't come out very often. I remember a time, "Boy, you did a good job on, you caught a big fish, or you did a good job raking the leaves, or you did a good job on that report at school." Just little things. And I remember just glow. I appreciated what my mom said, don't get me wrong, but I just long, I'm not kidding, I longed to hear this guy, my dad, say, "Good job, son." I remember when our boys were growing up, both Tammy and I were really big on giving approval. And before going into a game, sports, or going to take a test at school, or if they had to stand up and do something publicly, we'd always say, "You can do this. You can do anything. You are amazing. You are such a gifted communicator. You stand up with bold in front of your class and give that report. You got a game today. You're the best athlete I've ever seen. You are so powerful. You're awesome." I remember our middle son, Jesse, played basketball in high school, and his team actually won first place state of California that year. It was a great team, great year. And I remember going to hundreds of games, and he would drive up or he would steal the ball and he would do something. And I'm not kidding you, dozens of times, maybe a couple hundred times in those couple years in high school when he played, he would do something, make a shot, and he'd turn and look at me and then keep going. And here he is, 16, 17 years old, doesn't need dad, but it was an approval thing. And then afterwards, say, "Dad, did you see that move? Did you see that? Did you see this? Did you watch this, Dad?" And I say, "Man, you are amazing. I can't believe you." When Jake played football, I ran along the sidelines like an idiot saying, "You're amazing. You can do anything." And people thought, he probably a couple times wanted to ignore this weird dad on the sideline. But the approval bent, the instinct of just wanted to say, "You can do this." I mean, one time he's running for a touchdown. I'm running along beside him. I'm like a crazy dad. "Come on." I almost reached out to push him across the line, you know. Just passion to give approval. I want to tell you something. Just listen to me. Fathers are powerful. Because they were made in God's image. In the beginning, God created male and female, men and women, fathers and mothers. And in that, the distinction between the two is unique. Each male, female, father, mother reflects some of the image of God uniquely. Mothers have certain unique traits that reflect the image of God unique to their gender. The same with dads. And you, dads, or potential dads, men here today, you are powerful. God gave you, inherent within you, is these incredible skills, abilities, gifts, and talents unique to your gender, unique to you, that make the difference in the world we live in. Dad power, as such, originated with our heavenly dad, our heavenly father. And it resides in every dad or every man, and the same power resident in all of us men today will be passed on to the next generation. It cannot be stopped. Dad power is the inherent gift or the ability to influence your children, to influence your children's children, and really to influence the shaping of culture. You are powerful. Now, if dads are so powerful, if they're that powerful, why aren't we seeing more dad power? What is dad power anyway? What does it look like? Well, dads are protectors, uniquely so. They're providers. They are affirmers, those who affirm and speak powerful words. If that's true, why aren't we seeing more of that? I want to suggest to you this morning on Father's Day 2013, I want to suggest to you that there's a key or a Bible principle that all of us can use in a new way to actually kind of like release this dad power. It's the principle of honor. Ephesians chapter 6 says it this way. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You need to do that. And then Paul, the writer of this book, he goes to the Old Testament, to the Ten Commandments. And the fifth of the Ten Commandments is this: honor your father and mother. But then it goes on, it says, which is the first commandment with promise. It's actually the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a very specific promise attached to it. And the promise is this: if you honor, let's just say father today, if you honor your father, it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Those are pretty potent promises. So could we say, if we're not honoring father, that it might not be well with you? Could it be, just for a second, Father, they, could it be that some of the difficulties, the hesitancy, the problems, the lack of pressing through into the place we want to go, could it be a lack of honor? Because honor is a releasing agent in God's kingdom. When we honor properly, supernatural things take place. It's illustrated graphically in the life of Jesus. The story is he had already had his ministry established, doing well, preaching, healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, and he's going home for the holidays. So he goes into his hometown of Nazareth and sees friends and family, extended family, relatives, and there was a reaction amongst the townspeople. And it says, can you bring up that scripture? I think it's in Mark chapter 6. There we go. They begin to say, hey, isn't this guy who we've been hearing about, you know, all these miracles, isn't this powerful guy? He has power. Isn't that just the carpenter that we knew when he was a kid? Isn't that Mary's son and the brother James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They were familiar with this guy. They knew him well. They saw him run down the streets and, you know, play with their son Johnny. And he was a carpenter's son. Jesus helped build the table they eat on every day. It's just that common guy. They know him. And then it goes on, Jesus says, he said to them, only in their own towns and among their relatives and in their own families or in their homes are prophets without honor. Story doesn't stop there. Here's the key. Jesus could not do any miracles there. Didn't say he wouldn't. He was not making the decision. It says he could not. And the reason he could not be powerful is because of dishonor. Could it be in our culture today, the reason why father power maybe is not enacted to the degree it could be is because of a dishonor. There's another story, a story of a guy named Noah. Some of you know the story in Genesis chapter 8 and 9. He's a guy that God calls that, I want you to build a big boat and put the animals in it. We all know the story of Noah. Some of us do. Most of us do. He took him 100 years to build a boat. He gets in the boat. Finally, the flood's over. The boat lands on the earth, and Noah, he planted a vineyard, grapes. And he enjoyed the vineyard, made some wine. He drank too much literally one night, and he actually was intoxicated and found himself uncovered, naked, in his tent. Now, his sons came along, and let's see if I've got this scripture here. Yeah, it says in Genesis 9, Ham, one of the three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, but he didn't do anything about it. He came out and talked about it with his brothers. All we can understand is there was a sentiment of dishonoring. He didn't cover his father. But Shem and Japheth, the two other brothers, took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father and didn't even look because they wanted to respect him. You see, these guys knew historically their father had been a great father. They watched their father for 100 years build an ark to honor God. And the first thing that he did when he got out of the boat, the very first thing Noah did was build an altar and sacrifice to God. They'd seen a lifelong journey of a dad who was doing the best he could, and he made a mistake. Now, he didn't commit immorality, he didn't rob a bank. He just kind of lost his self-control for a moment, drank too much, and was uncovered. And it was a shameful thing in that culture. And the one son looks at it, kind of puts it off, and talks about it. The next verses after this, there's a pronouncement of judgment to Ham and a pronouncement of blessing to Shem and Japheth. The point of the story is honor and respect and value release power. And when it comes to fathers, I'm telling you, this is not just a nice little sermon on Father's Day. It is a relevant, historical, and present-day fact. Within you, men, is a power that is needed to bring an equilibrium to our culture and to your own family. It's powerful. You are powerful. You want blessing? You want that it may be well with you? You want the power to be released? Then we need to bring a sense of honor, not dishonor. Everybody said, I got it. I got it. Now, in Jesus' story, in the previous text, it says they were offended at him. There's a couple of things that would cause us maybe to dishonor our dad, especially if you're young and still at home. The two things, they were familiar with him. They caused him to dishonor Jesus. He just recognized who he was. And isn't it funny how it is you're around your dad? I remember when I was a kid, like, oh, Dad, what do you know, man? I got this figured out. You're just old. Because you're familiar. You've seen what they do, and there's maybe their simplicity or maybe their old school way of thinking and the clothes they wear, they're so out of it. I don't get it. I mean, and so you get so familiar, it's like you just turn the switch off to power. The very person God gave you. See, this power that they have is released, and sometimes you don't see it. You don't realize that your dad is influencing you in a very significant way. Even as an adult, my dad passed away a few years ago at the age of 92, and in the latter years of his life, I mean, I saw his influence on me even in a greater way as a grown man having my own life. That power, and we, you know, just respecting. The word honor means to value. It means to admire. It means to respect. So Jesus was limited in power, if you will, because they were familiar with him. The second reason he was limited because it says they were offended at him. Who is this guy? You know, sometimes we can get offended at our father or a father figure, a father, a stepfather, or a father figure in your life because they did wrong. In no way am I saying we should give it a blank check and, you know, do as Shem and Japheth and just cover wrong living of our father. We're not honoring them for living ungodly. We're not honoring them for maybe bringing us hurts or pain. We're honoring the role they have in our lives. And that can be done. You follow me? We're not just covering up a father who maybe was abusive. I'm not saying that. So hang on to your hat for a second. That's not what we're saying. And the same thought, though, we don't want to be offended because a father didn't perform properly or just didn't, maybe a little absentee. And so we were hurt. I think we can all say we've been hurt by our dad somewhere along the way. That's normal. But not letting the hurt become an offense, because if it becomes an offense, then we're just turning off the power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what he's saying? I believe God's calling us as a church to a place of greater respect today. Maybe initiating an email, a phone call. Dad, I love you. I respect you. I believe in you. Just that connection. I'm just focused enough on the scripture to believe there's something here that just by my attempt to honor and doing so, something powerful is released in my life. I gain from this. I want it to be well with me. I don't want to live long on the earth. Somebody with me on that one? Hey, let me talk to the dads for a few minutes. So we all benefited by making dad respected and honored. Dad, I want to talk to you. It's time to release the power. It's time to step up to the plate. It's time to be the man. I want to talk about some of the areas where we can do this. Just to give us a framework today on Father's Day 2013. Number one, protection. You are the protector. Everybody say protection. I remember when my boys were little, they were down the hall in their bedroom, and I remember at times they'd have a bad dream or something. They'd cry out, and they cry out most often for me. Dad, Dad, Daddy, Daddy. And I'd run down the hall. What's wrong? Oh, there's a monster in my room. Where is he? In the closet. I said, no, there's no. Look in there anyway. So I'd look in the closet. There's no monsters in there. The lights are on. I'd lay in the bed with him and hold him. You know, it's going to be okay. Let me pray for you. It's going to be fine. I'm going to walk out. No, come back. Okay, what do you want me to do? Stay with me. okay, I'll stay a little bit longer, you know, rub their head. Now I'm going to leave your light on. I will never leave you. Jesus is in your room. I'm just down the hall. I will always protect you. I'm your dad. And they drift into sleep. And I just remember one time when my dad and I were out fishing. He was a builder of boats and a big fisherman, so we had a little small boat. We were out fishing in the bay in Florida. And we were actually oystering, digging up oysters. And the day had gone by, and we didn't notice a gigantic storm had rolled in. We had a small boat, and the waves were huge. And I mean, it was treacherous for this little tiny boat to make it across the bay to where we had left our car. And we're going so slow, and the bow just diving in, water coming in the boat. I'm getting real panicky. As a boy, I mean, I'm literally feeling like we may not make this. It was that bad of a deal. And about 15 minutes into it, I'm shaking like a leaf, holding onto my life jacket thing. And I look back, and there's my dad, just stern and focused. And I think, no problem. I remember the emotion just settling, because in my mind's eye and what I'd observed of my dad, you talk about a protector. You see, here's what protection is. Protection to me, the word picture is like a shield. Like a human shield. Dads, we have powers. Like there's something instinctive in us to say, I'm in front of you. Whatever's coming has to come through me before it gets you. I'm here. I'm here to protect my house, my home, my family, my children, my finances. I'm here to protect. There's something instinctive in you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you recognize that, value yourself for it, and stand up and be who you are, a protector in your home and a protector in the city. Somebody say, yeah. Yeah, let's go to the next point. The next thing that we want to release today in the dads is provision. Everybody say provision. Provision. The Bible calls God, or gives God, many titles. And one of them is he's called the Lord, our provider, or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We're made in his image. There's an instinct in us men and husbands and fathers to be the one who goes out and works the field, so to speak, who's industrious, who conquers, who pursues, who digs in the earth, whatever it takes symbolically. We do what it takes to bring home the bacon. There's something in us that just wants to provide. It's a God thing. It is a power in you. I talk a lot to the young men at times that are, you know, young adults, and I'll challenge them. So how are you doing with saving your money? Why? I got a little, so listen to me. Make money, save money, give money, put some aside for a ring, a honeymoon, and a house. Start now. Don't wait until you fall off. Start. I talked to some guys recently. You know how much? Well, did I say, start now. Here's your goal. Save money. It should be instinctive, and you prepare the way. Men, looking, let's get the job. Let's pursue the career. Let's make the money. Let's be the men who rise up and provide, not just for our home, but for God's house, boldly operating as fathers are supposed to do. We are protectors and providers. Yeah. How about another area? Somebody likes that in the front row. That's good. The third area, which is really important, and we need it a lot today, fathers are those who bring affirmation. Just before Jesus launched into his public ministry to reach thousands of people, the Bible says this. Where is the scripture? It's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus is being water baptized, and a voice from heaven said, and guess who that was? Father. The Father says to the Son, this is my Son. I love him, and I'm really pleased with him. It was on the words of affirmation shortly after that that Jesus comes on the scene and is recognized as the incredible healer, the Messiah, the Son of God. There's just something about all of us that seeks to have approval. And dads, wherever you are in your journey, I think we need to turn that meter up. And even if your kids aren't doing it perfectly, we don't correct them harshly. We correct them gently. We want to affirm them more and more and more. Find ways to give them that incredible approval so they will know who they are and have great confidence. And when they make a mistake, we say, hey, this isn't the end. You got a bright future ahead of you. I believe in you. God believes in you. We're going to work this together. Come on, you can do this. You just keep affirming, because there's a power in those words. It's been scientifically proven. A father's affirmation is an incredible piece of confidence and security in humans. And the Bible's filled with blessings that were spoken by fathers. So we're going to do it, fathers. We're going to speak affirmation. And all the dads said, yeah. next area that I just want to release today and talk about is direction. Dads give direction. We have power to give direction or wisdom, or sometimes correction's a part of that. I remember hearing a story of a great man of God today who says he remembers as a boy his dad repeatedly saying to him, hundreds of times, God has a great plan for your life, and you just do not want to miss it. God has a plan for your life, and you just don't want to miss this. And he would say it so much, he said, as a little boy, I would hear it and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he said, I'm in my teenage young adult years, and I have the opportunity to go out and do other stuff I should not do and hang out with people and go and party. And I would hear this voice, God has a great plan for your life, and you just don't want to miss it. He said, I couldn't go where others went because I felt this compelling from the voice of my father directing me and telling me I can make right decisions because God has a unique plan for my life. And you know what? I want to show up for the deal. I don't want to miss it. We need to speak that. We need to give direction. Sometimes I think as dads we feel incomplete and inadequate and don't know how to give our kids direction because life's gotten complicated. It's not that you're a counselor. It's not that you have to have, you know, a degree in psychology, that you don't have to be the perfect person. You have in you power to give direction. And just the simplicity of telling them, you take the time to pray and spend time with God and make decisions. I'm here to help you and direct you in the right way. You can and you will make right decisions. And sometimes that means correction. Sometimes I really don't think you should do that. I remember as a grown man having children, visiting my dad, and my dad very politely would say, gee, I'd be careful that year. I don't know if you should do that. He very seldom would do it, but boy, what a check, and he was right. And that power was in him, and because there was honor and ability to receive, it protected me as a grown man. And dad, I want to tell you something. We can and we should and we will protect our children and protect this generation with wisdom and with accuracy. We release father power today in Jesus' name. So protection, he's a protector, provision. The next one is Christian. Everybody say Christian. Christian. Yeah, just be a Christian. There's a power when you are, though. What I mean by that, be a model, be an example. You know, I remember, you know, as far as being a Christian, when our boys were small, how we wanted to model the life. For me, my joy, our little thing that we did, I would put them to bed most nights. Tammy would too, but I would almost every night lay down with them, talk to them, hold them in my arms a little bit. There'd be some affirmation, affection properly, and then pray for them, and then teach them to pray. And we pray together about something they're facing. It was a 10, 15 seconds, 5, 10 minutes, it would vary. The time was not necessarily the issue. The issue was there was a consistency that we are Christians. And there's a power in me to be a model. This is how we live. This is what we do. We face problems or opportunities. We pray. So prayer was a big part. Church was a big thing. Dads, thank you for being in church today. In fact, I met a couple of some of the Swedish young junior high girls in the hallway. They were delighted to see me this morning, which said, tell me happy Father's Day, which I love. But then they said this. They said, we brought our dad today. They both said, I brought my dad too. So if you're here, man, you just made your daughter's day. I don't know who I'm talking to. Yeah. I mean, they just lit up. And to talk about influencing your children. Dads, wherever you are in your journey, or future dads, your model, your example is nuclear power. That's right. You know, I think there should be some intentionality in this. Spiritual life is not complicated. We make it complicated. We feel inadequate. Sometimes I've talked to dad, man, I just don't know how to do that, how to be spiritual and how to teach my kid and have Bible studies. Don't go there. I heard the story of a guy who said, my life was dramatically shaped towards God's truth, the Bible, because every night at dinner, my dad, I can still see him, after we're done, he just reach over and grab that same old big, giant, thick family Bible and open it up and read some verses and put it back, and that was the end of the day. He didn't preach, he didn't have a big Bible study, but he made sure that truth was integral to the fabric and the foundation of what our family was all about. And to this day, I can still see him doing it, and I still receive from those verses he read to me. I remember seeing my dad, who only he had a very limited education, and had some limited education, could have difficulty reading, actually. But I remember seeing him thousands of times sitting in the recliner chair, Bible open, slowly reading, sometimes out loud. I had a hard time, but he'd read those verses. How that impacted me. My dad, who just read the Bible. You know, it's not complicated. You know, your kids face a problem. You just, I remember a verse, son, the Bible says. I remember that with our boys, and they did go through a difficult, well, you know, the Bible says, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Don't you? Let's not worry about what people say. So just quote the scriptures. You talk about power. It's not just the Bible. It's coming through the mouthpiece of a man with power of influence over the child. It just goes inside the being of the person. Get over the problem. If you do the Bible study, that's great, but most of us don't do that, and we're looking for some way to take the complicated and make it simple. Just read it. Just remember it. State it. Quote it. And when it comes to prayer, at the night, or make it real simple. You're not a big person of prayer. You're praying over a meal. And your daughter, Sally, has a problem with someone who hurt her feelings at school, and she told you about it. Daddy, Daddy, I'm so hurt. When you're praying, Lord, bless his food. And I just pray for Sally, Lord, that she's hurt because of what her friend said. And I just pray that things would be made right, and this would all somehow work out in her life. Amen. Not that complicated, but very powerful. I remember my dad, who was nervous about praying. He would pray a couple times in public for me, and how he'd get a little embarrassed and kind of mumble. How I'd be brought to tears because this man who had power in my life, influence, would pray these little simple prayers that penetrated the heart. We can do this, Dad. Let me just read one scripture as we close on this whole point of being spiritual. This Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, fathers, specifically, not parents here, and you fathers, let me add this. Don't use the power, because the power can go negative or positive. Don't use your father power to provoke your children to wrath. But use your father power to bring your children up. Not put them down, bring them up. Not put them down, but bring them up how? In the training and admonition of the Lord Jesus. Use your father power to shape the destiny and the course of events of your children. And really, it goes beyond your children. It really affects our entire culture and society.